What if I told you the moon landing was faked and Bigfoot was real? Welcome to our full review on Inside Job, a show that dives headfirst into the strange world of conspiracy theories.
On Binge Buzz, we take a deep dive onto TV show favorites, bringing you insight and detail, discussing on what makes these shows tick. Whether it's the characters or the story, we cover it all.
Today we are turning our attention to Netflix animated series Inside Job, created by Shion Takeuchi. This show masters in blending humor with the large bizarre world of conspiracy theories. It invites viewers to step in the shoes of its quirky group of characters as they navigate the inner workings of Kodito Inc., the so-called shadow government that controls the world's runnings behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's right. Although such an important world job, these characters may not always be most responsible, but this only adds to the charm. They find themselves in all sorts of wild, humorous situations, but what really stands out is how these moments are laced with heartfelt undertones. It's the show's combination of emotions and absurdity that makes it so special.
While Inside Job leans heavily into adult animation, the weave of emotional arcs makes it more than just a comedy. It becomes a compelling series with a blend of satire and sincerity that keeps the audience wanting more. Each episode peels back a new layer of vulnerabilities of its characters.
Although it's important to note before you consider watching the show, it's rated ages 14+ due to the use of crude humor and some scenes not suitable for younger audiences.
Speaking on keeping you hooked, let's dive into a specific episode I enjoyed that really showcases the show's blend of humor and heart. I'm talking about Season 1, Episode 5, The Breakfast Club, a personal favorite of mine.
I remember that one. It starts with Cognito Inc.'s crew getting sent on a mission to the 80s town to sell dangerous recalled products. While doing this, they lose Mike and have to try and find the people of the 80s town from finding out they are stuck in the 80s because of this substance they call Nostalgia Max. Taking us through many laughs while also portraying heartfelt moments, the show's characters. The one particular scene that stood out to me when they were on the plane heading toward 80s town, Brett asked his coworker Reagan if she recalled any of the recalled toys and bring her back. She tells them that she doesn't know anything about 80s pop culture because her dad threw out the TV to focus on science. Brett then goes on to sniff some scented markers he says he has when he was a kid and goes on to say, "Take me away, Cosmic Berry Blast."
Oh my god, I had these exact scented markers. Take me away, Cosmic Berry Blast.
This episode was an absolute goldmine for 80s pop culture references. If you haven't seen the episode yet, spoil alert now, we're going deep into everything.
First off, let's talk about the town of Still Valley. It means it's basically a capsule of 80s and not just the way it looks. It's good that everyone's mentally stuck in the 80s vibe, completely with outdated values and, let's say, questionable school practices.
Oh, 100%. We see how the 80s nostalgia clashes with the modern world, especially with the character Andre, who is constantly bombarded with casual racism from townspeople. The 80s weren't just a fashion statement back then, they were also a time when a lot of terrible attitudes were still socially acceptable.
Definitely, a critique of how certain parts of the past don't age well. Right, but before we go down that rabbit hole, let's talk about the fun 80s references in this episode. There are so many. Like the scene where Brett is literally in nostalgia overload. He got a Cabbage Patch Kid battle ready.
That was hilarious. I mean, the show knows its audience. A Cabbage Patch Kid in the battle scene is a perfect absurd touch, and it gets even better when we talk about Regan's weapon, her proton pack, which of course is straight up Ghostbusters reference.
Oh yeah, that was such a moment. You can tell the writers had a blast sneaking those Easter eggs in. And the episode isn't just referencing Ghostbusters, it also brings the light to old classical movies like The Breakfast Club, Footloose, and even The Goonies. Did you catch that Footloose shout of out character in Dolphin's class?
How could I miss it? It was pure 80s high school movie magic. Well, until you realize the physical harm of children in the schools were portrayed normalized, but we don't speak of that.
Yeah, though I do love how they played the idea of nostalgia itself. Brett is absolutely obsessed with these old movies, and as a way of idolizing the past, he believes better than his own, although I can't help but also remember what he compares Mike falling off a cliff to Mac and me.
That was a moment. I mean, it's a stretch for sure, but it's that weird mix of Goonies meets Stranger Things. You've got the kids going on wild adventures, and then boom, there goes Mike. It's just silhouetted by the moon like it's straight out of E.T. Though, unlike E.T., Mike was selfish and self-centered and took advantage of the kids' hospitality.
And speaking of 80s adventure movies, we can't forget about the growing years joke, referencing through Brett's attachment to the show. It's a matchup of the Wonder Years and the growing pains.
Totally. His whole, the past was better, just screams overblown nostalgia, although it also ties into this larger idea of how people, including the characters like Brett in the show, are trying to hold on to this idolized version of the past, whether it's in the 80s or otherwise.
In contrast, Reagan has to dive into those old movies to try and understand Brett. She watches everything from Dirty Dancing to Gremlins, E.T., Ghostbusters, you name it. I thought it was hilarious that she had to go back in time to get inside Brett's head.
In the merchandise scene at the beginning, notice all those toys on the table? Care Bears, My Little Pony, it's like the show is reminding us that the 80s weren't just a cultural moment, they were everywhere. Even in our childhood toys.
It really is a nod to how much that decade still influences us even today.
Exactly, and even the jokes about things like lawn darts, those weird backyard games that were popular in the 80s, it really points out how nostalgia often overlooks the more dangerous or absurd parts of the bygone era.
Yeah, like the fact that those lawn darts could probably put your eye out, and yet they're nostalgic merchandise from items on sale. I mean, you saw the way it went through JR's hand in the beginning. It's a great metaphor for how something romanticized the past while ignoring its flaws.
Totally. So in a nutshell, this episode is all about the clash between the past and present. The good, the bad, and the downright ridiculous. Brett's obsession with the 80s is more than just a quirky character trait. It's the perfect satire on how society clings to nostalgia without acknowledging its darker elements.
And of course, the show throws all its hilarious references to Footloose, Ghostbusters, and the Goonies to keep us laughing. It's Inside Job's way of saying, we got it, we're all obsessed with the past, but don't forget to look what's right in front of you. We really see this portrayed in Brett's character this episode.
Well said. We've had a lot of laughs talking about the 80s nostalgia and all the pop culture references, but let's take a moment to focus on something a little deeper, character development. Specifically Brett and Regan. This episode really gives us some insight into their backgrounds, and I think we get to see a side of both characters we haven't seen before.
I agree completely. I mean, this episode is huge for Brett, especially when we get much deeper in look into his backstory, and wow, it really adds layers into his character. I mean, the guy's whole obsession with the 80s town is, it's more than just a nostalgia trip, it's all about filling a void that he's had since childhood. His family neglected him, and it seemed like Still Valley was just its perfect, simple 80s style value. It's his way of saying, trying to fix what was broken in his own life.
Yeah, Brett's entire journey in this episode makes a lot more sense when you see the underlying reasons for his actions. He's been so stuck in this fantasy of the perfect family life he never had that it actually derails the team's plans. It's almost like subconsciously he's trying to recreate the ideal world that was never given to him.
Exactly, and that backstory really helps explain a lot of Brett's behavior throughout this series. He's been acting out this whole time, but it's not just for laughs. He's trying to fix something deeper. It's almost like he's trying to reclaim a childhood he feels he missed out on. The fact that Still Valley, in all its 80s charm, represents that kind of perfect sheltered world makes sense. Now he's like living in a fantasy to protect himself from the hurt he experienced growing up.
It's honestly a tragic side of his character. It's interesting to see how the contrast plays out with Regan's journey too. I mean, her growth in this episode is just as compelling. We've seen her as a more distant, work-focused figure, but here she starts to show more emotion, particularly when it comes to Brett.
Very true. Though the episode Regan becomes more visually protective of her team, she actually cares whether she admits it. And her character like Regan, who she emotionally discarded and has struggles with connecting through the show, that's a huge leap forward.
I personally think a lot of that growth is shown in her reaction to Brett's behavior. At first, she's almost like she doesn't want to deal with his mess, but as the mission falls apart, she steps up. It's such a subtle shift, but it's clear that she's really starting to let her guard down. Just remember previous episodes when Regan couldn't even hug someone?
Oh, absolutely. The moment was so telling. Regan literally both punched a coworker as well as ripped a Reptoid's arm off trying to avoid hugging with robotic ones that did it for her. But here in the Breakfast Club, we see her in the end of the episode actually hug him and the team. That's huge for her.
not just a little hug either. She does it because she wants to, not out of the obligation like the Reptoid episode. This is a massive shift in Regan's character arc, and she's breaking out of that emotionally isolated shell she's been in, and it's satisfying to see.
It really is. I thought this one was the first episode where we really see Regan acknowledge her team, not just as colleagues or assets, but as people she actually cares about. She's no longer the robot we can see. She sees everyone as tools for the greater conspiracy, that is Cognito Inc. She starts to see the human side of things, and in turn, we start to see more to her too.
Right? It's almost like she's learning how to balance her emotions in the tough, logical exterior she builds up over the years. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's being a slow burn for her. But episodes like this make it clear that she's growing, and that's a big deal for a character like her. It also makes her more relatable and more human.
I love how the growth is mirrored in Brett's own journey. He is trying to deal with the past while Regan starts to move past hers and visually care more, both of which are essential to the team's dynamic.
It's not just about Brett and Regan as individuals. This episode really shows how they start to influence each other's growth. For Brett, Regan's care is a wake-up call. He starts realizing that this whole 80s nostalgia trip isn't the answer to his issues. And for Regan, Brett struggles help her open up a little more and connect with the team.
It's a beautiful cycle of growth between them both. And honestly, I think the episode best comes from these two characters evolve. Sure, the 80s jokes are hilarious, but the emotional core of this episode is really about Brett healing his past and Regan learning how to be more present with the people around her.
I couldn't agree more. So I think this episode is a key turning point for both characters. We've always seen them as complex, but here we really get to see them changing in real time. It's such a great moment in the series.
Absolutely, and if the show has had the chance to continue this trajectory of showing us more about the team's internal dynamics, while still delivering on the humor and conspiracy hijinks, I'm sure there would have been more great episodes down the line.
Alright, now we've gone through the wild ride that is Inside Job Episode 5, The Breakfast Club. Let's get down to business. If you had to rank this episode in comparison to the others, how would you score it?
That's a tough one. Honestly, I'd give this episode an 8 out of 10. It's super fun, packed with nostalgia references, and the humor hits just right. But when it comes to conspiracy theories and the deeper layers we've seen in this episode, maybe it doesn't push the envelope as much. Still, it's a solid in entertainment.
I'm right there with you. It's one of the most fun episodes for sure. There's a lot to love about it, especially for someone who grew up in the 80s or if you're a fan of 80s pop culture in general. I think the humor is on point. The nostalgia overload is an interesting concept, and they do such a great job of blending that humor with the weird, twisted conspiracy stuff we've come to expect.
For sure, but when you compare this to other episodes, it's kind of less plot-driven and more character-building, right? But based on the other episodes that more into conspiracy theories-based plots, the show is pretty known for. This episode is more about exploring Brett's obsession with the past and showing why that is and more about his character. It's a bit lighter on the big picture Cognito Inc.
Right, exactly. It's not as much of the grand conspiracies or the kind of mind-bending government secrets we've seen before, but I think that's okay. The show has shown that it can pivot between this crazy sci-fi government conspiracy show and being a humorous look at pop culture, and I think this episode balances both well, even if it's not as heavy on the conspiracies.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those different tone compared to the Reptoid episode or the Flat Earth Society, but the way the Breakfast Club uses nostalgia to explore the characters' relationships and characteristics, that makes it stand out that's just fun.
I agree. The episode has a great balance of humor and heart, and it still touches on the darker sides of things, like how nostalgia can be used to distract or justify bad behavior of the past. Plus the jokes land, I mean, Brett's entire life being shaped by 80s sitcoms. That's both funny and a bit sad on his character when more revealed why.
Totally. So if we're talking about ranking terms of humor, references, and how interesting it is, this one is definitely up there. I'd say it might be just below some of the more high-stakes episodes we've seen, but still a solid 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's a fun episode, but it doesn't quite have the same emotional depth or high-concept conspiracy elements as some of the others. Still, I think the 80s references in the comic carry it well. Definitely a good one to rewatch if you need a laugh or if you're looking for more hidden pop culture gems.
And let's be real, Inside Job really nails the balance of humor and social commentary. So even though this one might not have been as high stakes plot-wise, it still hits the mark on terms of series overall tone.
So we're both agreeing on 8 out of 10 for this one. Now let's take a moment to compare it to other shows out there. Inside Job always brings that special blend of absurdity and deeper themes, but when you think about other animated series it's compared to, like Rick and Morty or even BoJack Horseman, where does this one stand?
Interesting comparison. Well, Rick and Morty can get it gets super dark and mind-bending, so I think Inside Job keeps its own tone, a little more accessible. It's definitely not out there as Rick and Morty, will all the alternate dimensions and intense emotional beats. BoJack is a bit of a different animal with a focus on its essential themes, but Inside Job does that satirical look on at society really well. The 80s nostalgia here might feel a bit more lighthearted, but underneath that it's just a sharp with the social commentary.
Good point. I think Inside Job keeps things a bit more grounded, but with that same level of satire we see in other shows. It's just not as raw or gut-punching in the emotional sense. It's like a funnier version of political commentary.
And in terms of conspiracy theories, it's kind of on its own lane. I mean, we're talking about secret societies and aliens like Tech inside Job. But it doesn't get a physiology messy as Rick and Morty can get. Inside Job is a way more about characters, their work, lives, and how absurd government stuff affects them personally.
Yeah, Inside Job really excels at creating that balance of quirky conspiracy elements and emotional character development. It's definitely not as heavy as BoJack, but it strikes a nice middle ground that makes it refreshing.
So with that said, I think this episode's humor and pop culture references definitely put it in the upper half of the season. Maybe just a step below the more complex, plot-heavy episodes. It doesn't hit the emotional or conspiracy highs of some of the other episodes.
Agreed. So yeah, 8 out of 10 from both of us for The Breakfast Club. Tell me what you guys think, though. A classic mix of 80s nostalgia, great humor, and satirical commentary. What more could you want? But it's not quite as groundbreaking as some of the others.
Exactly. So folks, what do you think? How would you rank this episode compared to the others in Inside Job? It's one of our favorites or your favorites, or do you prefer the more conspiracy-heavy episodes? Let us know your thoughts. Now I would like to quickly touch on the lovely voice actors who played the amazing characters and some of their other stuff they play in their roles or other voice roles in. Clark Duke, the voice of Brett Hand, is also known for his roles in The Croods as Thunk. Christian Slater, the voice of Rand Ridley, is also known for his role in a TV show called Robot Chicken and a movie called Very Bad Things. Tisha Campbell, the voice of Gigi Thompson, is known for her role in the Harley Quinn series. John DiMaggio, the voice of Glenn Dolphman, is also known for his roles in The Loud House. Brett Gelman, the voice of Magic Mike, is also known for his role in Stranger Things. Bobby Lee, the voice actor of Dr. Andre Harris, is also known for his role in Paul. Adam Scott, the voice of Ron Statler, is also known in the show Big Mouth. Chris Diamantopoulos, the voice of Robotus, is also known for his roles in Invincible.
A lot of great actors and shows, honestly. But that wraps it up, folks. That's the end of our deep dive into Inside Job Episode 5, The Breakfast Club. Let us know what you think about the episode, the series, its references, and of course the show you'd like us to dive into next. We'll catch you next time on Binge Buzz.